Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast. It is a Thursday and I'm your host, Tom Doherty. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. On the show today, we are going to talk about some stuff regarding Twitter and the news is coming out regarding President Trump and the fact that he can't block people on Twitter. A judge deemed it unconstitutional. And also the news regarding Twitter and its new verification tools for political candidates. We're coming into these midterm elections now as the tech world has kind of crossed over into our political world as well, of course, as now we are connected more than ever and are even closer and closer to our politicians through, whether it's through social media or otherwise. And then also in the show, we're going to go over Apple and its it's kind of releasing a little bit of this news about the iPhone 10 Plus, and how it's going to blow everything out of the water, as well as their fact that Siri looks like it will be have. We're getting more and more specificities on what the updates to Siri will be. So we'll talk about that in the second segment, and then also in the fourth segment, we're going to go and do kind of a follow up what we talked about on Tuesday regarding the PlayStation and Sony's what their plan will be for the next kind of console and what's to be expected from that. That'll be in the third segment, and then of course in the fourth segment, as always, we will kind of bounce around different stories and do updates as we go along there in the fourth segment. All right, so let's go right into it. Twitter, I mean, we all knew Twitter is kind of like I want to call it a black hole because it there are some bright spots obviously in Twitter, but the fact that now, I mean, I'm actually watching this documentary on Barack Obama and his final year in the White House with some of his top advisors on HBO. Definitely would recommend watching that. It's called The Final Year. It's on HBO. It's just an hour and a half long documentary following the Secretary of State, John Kerry, Samantha Power, who is the ambassador to the United Nations, and John Hughes, who is kind of the everyman for President Obama for his second term, whether it was regarding, I think John was, Ben Hughes, was the guy who just kind of was the point man on any communications regarding foreign policy and was the main foreign policy speechwriter as well. So it's just interesting watching that and kind of getting all this background noise regarding the election that we had in 2016 and how Twitter was involved in it so much and how President Trump gets involved in it and uses it as a tool for him. And obviously he's been in the news every day. There's never a day goes by that Donald Trump is not in the news, but he was in it a couple just yesterday when it was announced that a judge deemed it unconstitutional for him to block users on Twitter that he thought were talking too much trash about him or that he didn't like, whatever it may be. I mean, you can even go search on your phones or whatever you get your news from, but you can go search and you can find out there's plenty of articles out there that will tell you the kind of tweets they'll give. They pulled some tweets from people who have been blocked by President Trump and they show them off. This is what it takes to get you blocked by Trump. But it looks like Twitter is not only they're kind of taking their own stance on this as they will be having some sort of protocols regarding a verification tool for political candidates coming up in this midterm elections. Obviously, we're less than 6 months away. They're trying to Facebook's already kind of doing it as well with this whole fake news thing where I know President Trump likes to point fingers and call everything fake news, whether it's CNN or even sometimes MSNBC or whatever right wing or not so right, even moderate kind of news publication goes after him, or even people on Twitter. It seeming like there's a lot of fake news out there, but there's also a lot of fake news that are telling people lies about Trump to help him. So fake news is kind of helping him, and he's fighting against it, the stuff that he thinks is against him and false. We'll see. I mean, if only you can just go through and find out which is actually true and not true, and see how much is actually fake that's supposed to be pumping him up. But it looks like Twitter, like I said, will be rolling out a new verification tool in order it's all for these U.S. Major political candidates that will be kind of, you know, helping them, helping you kind of figure out who is accurate, who's not. It's obviously even, I'm seeing it's even going to go be kind of like a secondary thing to the whole, like, you know, the blue check, the verification, you know, blue check mark kind of verifying people's accounts. And it's going to go even farther past that, obviously. There's going to be a new little icon that will tell you exactly who the person is and what office they're running for and everything. So you're not going to get any fake accounts from any candidates, that's for sure. As we will have, they're going to say they're going to have labels available for everything races involving the governor, U.S. Senate, and House representatives. For anybody who has qualified for the ballot during the elections. So those elections are coming November 6th of this year. That's actually pretty cool that Twitter is doing that. But this thing is, President Trump, I mean, the fact that, I mean, I know other, I'm still reading other places and seeing that even though this ruling has been put down, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, he said, this is a federal judge, not quite the Supreme Court, obviously, saying that he can't do this, but there's other news out saying that Twitter technically isn't still subject to the First Amendment, even though he says that the president's account is. I mean, this is that they're one of their it's the fact that he blocked people violated the rights. I mean, that's a whole different show. We can go into the political aspects of it. But now we're finally getting into a tech kind of, you know, social media crossover for this, and it's finally, I mean, the fact that we're seeing, I mean, I think when President Obama was in office, he had the POTUS handle. Obviously, President Trump has it as well, but he is very much using his own at Real Donald Trump handle most of all, and it looks like, I mean, it's saying that even though the fact that he block people is unconstitutional, the fact that, I mean, what saying is not saying that tweets are not, Twitter is not subject to the First Amendment, so you technically can, like, get upset that people are saying certain things. It's not technically quote-unquote freedom of speech on Twitter. It doesn't make any sense. Obviously, Twitter has their own rules and such, what you can, I mean, there's definitely community standards on Twitter, but Twitter is kind of, like I said, it's kind of a dark hole with some bright spots. There's some rabbit holes you could go down when it comes to Twitter, and definitely dark corners and such, where maybe those community standards are stretched quite a bit. They should probably have some sweeping technologies for that to kind of go through and catch all that stuff, but maybe catch some of the president's tweets as well. Is he violating anything other than the fact that he's blocking people? I mean, technically, yeah. So people are asking if this ruling, the fact that he can't block people, can make this, you know, the fact that Twitter, make it Twitter the public, quote unquote, public forum, you know, public forum that's protected under the law. Technically, is subject to the First Amendment, and it says, I mean, it's not really making this a sweeping judgment. Basically, it's just basically saying that the president can't block people. So it's kind of a free flow. You got to deal with the haters, Mr. President. You got to deal with the haters sometimes. And I'm looking at this ruling here and so how it is interpreted. It says that, I mean, it does not rule on Twitter as a whole. Yeah. So it's not really even the whole entirety of the president's account. It's more just the fact that he's taking offense and trying to shut it off. Basically, it's kind of like, you know, what is the part that's part of the First Amendment? Isn't like there's some way back in the day, was John Adams or something was arresting people for talking crap about the president, even though you're technically completely allowed to. It's interesting how it's going to work. Obviously, Yeah, so it didn't know nothing about the fact that Twitter is beholden or applies the First Amendment, but would definitely, when it comes to the fact that the president is blocking people, it's the, yeah, so it's only different parts of his account, which is which is where he interacts with people. Yeah, so interactive space is their quote unquote. It's every tweet, and yeah, it's kind of a weird mumbo jumbo jargon of how lawyers and jurors, you know, judges kind of put everything together. Jurists, I'm trying to think of that word there, but you know, Twitter is an open space. Obviously, there's plenty of hate out there on Twitter. There's plenty of, I mean, the fact that Twitter has gotten to where it is now. I mean, you can look up how many people are actually on Twitter, but around the world, it's been kind of an up and down. You can definitely find some good and bad on there. And the fact that we're now seeing a president get a slap on the wrist by a court is pretty interesting. This is obviously everything now with, of course, President Trump, everything is pretty much unprecedented. It's the fact that he's on, even on Twitter. Some of these things, I don't want to get really too politically sided here, but go look at the president's Twitter account and see how long it takes you to start just kind of thinking to yourself, really? 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 I mean, as far as users on Twitter, as of October 2017, we had 330 million users. So basically the population of the United States. You took everybody, every single person in the United States, babies, everything. That's how many people was on Twitter. Obviously, it's worldwide. So looks like that we're now, the fact that we're getting into this realm of law and, you know, I'm trying to think of the word here, just, you know, the fact that we're having to put different rules on these facts. The president, Mr. President, you can't block out the haters. You gotta embrace the haters, Mr. President. Yeah. So I mean, the fact that they are making this distinction though is good. We're not saying that there is President Trump is the fact that he violated our rights, our constitutional rights as Americans to make these tweets. By shutting us off, basically. I forgot. There's an act out there. I can't remember what it was called. It's not. It's called like something that basically that if you talked bad against the government, you were going to get in trouble. Obviously, the whole point of the First Amendment is freedom of speech. Even though Twitter apparently doesn't apply, but it applied to certain things. Apply to the fact that he can't turn him off, basically. He can't legally block his followers for political reasons, basically saying this is so that's how they basically deemed it unconstitutional. He deemed it unconstitutional because it's technically an act of discrimination. And you can't, I mean, look at that. Trump finds another way to discriminate people and does it over the internet, over a techy kind of portal, social media portal. So it says viewpoint discrimination by government. Yeah, so yeah, in a public forum, you can't have viewpoint discrimination, and yeah, you're getting it from the highest office in the land, from your own president. It's interesting. I mean, imagine, I don't know, to be able to go in there and figure out, does he actually like literally have the phone in his hand? I mean, the guy's tweeting at like 5 a.m. It's 4 a.m. We've seen him tweet. Is he actually going in there and be like, blocked. You're blocked. I don't like you. Like, really? Imagine that in your head, the president of the United States blocking your account. Like, he took it had to take it so far, and then, or maybe he gives it to his assistant, and it's like, block them, or something like that. That'd be like, or you're blocked, you know, you're fired, you're blocked. It's funny. Just imagine that in your head. Now and it came to a certain point where a federal judge had to go look at this case and be like, yeah, that's your point, discrimination, you're trying to censor people for their political views. You can't do that. That's not definitely a no-no in our country, especially now we're finding it even stretches across the realm of the social media tech realm, where we're seeing it now get involved with Twitter. I mean, Twitter has just been all over ever since Donald Trump has come. Like I talked about the beginning of this segment, talking about the documentary on HBO and how the staffers of President Obama are trying to get all this peace talks done in Syria and in Iran, and they're all are hearing on United States news is what the president, what Donald Trump, before he became president, obviously, was tweeting, and all their work was kind of going underneath the radar, which, I mean, whether they are okay with it or not, they really have a choice, because that's how the media works here in the United States. All right, that'll do it for this segment. We're going to come back and talk about Apple a little bit and some news regarding what we're probably going to hear coming. Was it June 4th? I think is when the that E3 conference is. So that's when they're really going to announce what's going on with Siri. But we're going to try and do some guessing games and give you a little preview. So do that when we come back.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Ooh, welcome back, GSMC Technology Podcast. In this segment, we're going to talk about some Apple news regarding Siri and the updates that we'll probably see coming with the new iOS. And, well, of course, if you get a new phone come September, I know that the we're expecting the iPhone X Plus, which, I mean, is supposed to be quite nice. And, I mean, we've already seen the fact that Apple is... They have the best, the best running phone on the market. The best selling. I mean, I don't know. It is overall the best selling phone, because with Android, I think I've talked about it multiple times. There, Android, obviously, we have multiple companies: Samsung, HTC, Motorola, LG. Everything that all runs Android. Versus iPhones, they're just that's it. So basically, it's iPhone versus it's one versus four, or even five, if you want to think about some of the smaller companies. Like I talked about LG, HTC, Samsung's the biggest one, obviously. With the Galaxy, they've had their own issues, but with the iPhone, I think the fact that everybody's kind of going to that notch, everybody's kind of following the same way, whether it's the lack of ingenuity or whatever, or they think is can't beat them, join them. Now we're getting to the fact where it's not even about the it's less about the look and feel. It's more now about what's inside and what's the functionalities of this phone, of the AI, of the personal assistant. I know we talked about it last show regarding how Apple is kind of behind everybody else when it comes to the home pod, but when it comes to the phone, they are definitely out in front, as they're trying to now update. I mean, that's the thing about it. They had Siri. It was really the first personal assistant AI software, and it was on your phone. Google Assistant came out. They had theirs on the phone. Also have it. Obviously, we have Alexa. We have wasn't there? I think there was an Amazon phone for like 2 seconds, and it kind of just went. Psh. But no, Apple, they're now trying to kind of overhaul Siri and do it all at once, where they're going to do it on the phones and in the home pods. So it looks like that they're definitely, after seeing what the Google did with the Google Duplex, Apple reportedly is trying to look into how Siri could make a role into basically. I don't want to say it's like a voicemail kind of thing, but it's like if you had to, like, you know, when you it gives you the options on why you can't answer the phone, like, sorry, I can't talk right now, or I'll call you back, or I'm in the middle of something. All those options, if you have an iPhone, you know what it says, like, you know, sorry, I can't talk right now, I'll send a text back. But they're looking into a way where Siri will actually be the person that answers the phone for you when you say that, and it'll tell the person on the other side what it is, instead of sending them a text like it normally does. So that's actually kind of cool what it's going to do. Obviously, we're going to probably see eventually with Siri, just like the Google Assistant answering the phone and talking to your hairdresser and getting you a hair appointment or making a reservation at a restaurant or something like that, just like we're seeing from Google, and we saw at the Google at the Google, what was it, the I.O., Google I.O., big developer conference. We also saw it from Microsoft and their AI stuff. Microsoft really doubling down on the whole AI thing. I think they're seeing Google kind of going after him, like, oh, we got to get after that too. We can't mess around here. But yeah, so it doesn't definitely, with these, this is the, we're kind of speculating on this stuff because of these new patents that Apple is coming out with. Basically, they have, I mean, that's how a lot of tech news kind of leaks out, where these companies have to obviously send ideas to the patent office, the United States Patent Office, and they can get leaked, and we see mock-ups of what their ideas are. As I'm looking at a picture, obviously, it's like, say somebody's driving and they can't answer the phone. I mean, these days most people have hands free, but if you don't have hands free, you don't want to talk on the phone while you're driving, you could just press the button and have it say, have Siri answer the phone and tell the person that called you that you're driving. So that's how nice is that, obviously. So it looks like there's also another patent application that Siri is also able to work with Apple Maps, which probably needs an overhaul again. But pulling from Apple Maps and giving you different replies that can tell you, I mean, different basically where, you can already do that basically. Which tells you which street you're on and how long it takes to get to your the place you want to go. Whether it's going to be talking to people and telling them that, like, oh, Johnny is only 5 minutes away. He'll be there in just a second. Like, he's on this street. I don't know. So it's showing that people are, it's going to be able to identify the caller and tell them basically what you want them to tell them, and through Apple CarPlay. So he's saying it's expecting you to have the hands free. I don't know why you wouldn't want to answer the phone hands free, wouldn't you? So it's definitely examples that it's also showing Apple CarPlay regarding on this regarding the phones and these new Siri things that are going to be adding in, and basically she's going to be talking on the phone for you while you're driving, so you have to deal with people, which is not a bad idea. I mean, Siri's helpful like that. You got to like that when it comes to these AI things. It's also supposed to be helping us move along forward, and I mean, whether it's being safer. Obviously, we want to be able to be safe, keep our hands on the wheel in the driveway. On our drives, but we're going to be seeing the fact that, I mean, whether they're calling it the Apple's intelligent digital assistant for declining an incoming call, basically. So if you, like I'm saying, they have those options where when you can't talk to somebody. Sorry, I can't talk right now. I'll call you back, or I'm in a meeting, or 1 second, this kind of thing. Siri is going to be able to do that for you, as they're going to have this feature. It looks like it's going to be announced, obviously, with the WWDC. Yeah, that's what it is. The WWDC is June. I don't know why I said E3. That's something else. That's a gaming conference. WWDC is on June 4th. We're going to see in a couple weeks here exactly what is going to be coming on these phones. Coming in September, obviously, we have been able to see the fact that Google, I've talked about it as well with the smart replies from Android and the Google Duplex, we'll have to wait and see how long it's going to take to release that, because the functionality of it is great when it's simulated, but to be able to do it over and over and over again, you need to have some seamless capabilities from your AI device, whether it's going to be kind of awkward for people. Like, say you're in the service industry, you get a call from an automated, I mean, you think there's plenty of automated devices when you call your bank or something like that, but when you're actually getting a call from somebody, a normal person, just a regular person trying to get a dinner reservation, it's like, hello, Johnny would like to eat dinner at 6:30 with four people, and you could talk back to it, and are there any kids or something like that, where, you know, ask questions and it'll answer for you, be able to figure it out, is pretty cool. And so this definitely a thing we're seeing now as kind of a leak before this WWDC, that Siri is going to have some updates and doing smart replies when you can't get to the phone. You can't get to the phone. All right, some more stuff on Apple's. We're going to shift away from the Siri stuff. I know that we're kind of getting into a fact where everything is about who makes the best one and who can sell the most of this and that. We talked about the fact, I mean, I think about it probably in the beginning of the segment, saying that Apple kind of, it's kind of Apple against everybody else, because everybody else uses the Android platform and operating system. And there's so many different phones that do that, whether it's Google, the Pixel phones, LG, Samsung, LT, HTC, Motorola, blah, blah, blah. We kind of went through that. But now Apple, again, we're seeing reports that when they come out with the Apple iPhone 10 X, iPhone 10 Plus, that is, we're going to see them blow everybody out of the water again. Because, I mean, whether they get these processors that are just so much better than everything else, I think even the fact, even on the iPhone 10 now and even the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus, we have this processor that runs, I mean, it's not double or triple, but it's incrementally better than how fast how the other phones run. So I mean, whether you're I don't know why people kind of like, oh, I'm anti-Apple, I don't want to pay the premiums. That's kind of the only reason I'm hearing that we don't have everybody using Apple phones. And it's kind of interesting because we're seeing everybody seeming to have an opinion on which kind of phone they use, whether you're Android or Apple. We have it all for you here, obviously, on this podcast. I'm going to talk about everything. But this phone's there. It's interesting seeing how people can get kind of, hostile when it comes to it. Shifting over now, obviously, we're waiting with patiently. I am waiting patiently for that iPhone 10 Plus. I like the big screen, so I'll probably be snapping that one up. Definitely been an Apple person for quite a while now. Regarding more Apple stuff, they have gotten, after some a conversation or some talks with BMW fell through, Apple has now made a deal with Volkswagen to start a self-driving program for shuttles. So it looks like that they're going to be taking these Volkswagen T6 transporter vans and turning them into shuttles for employees, whether you're getting them, taking them. I mean, remember, we have the new campus down there in Cupertino, the Apple campus that looks like a spaceship. And if you look at it, you'll see the parking lot is like underground underneath it. But I don't know if they're going to be shuttling people from like a kind of a carpool area, or whether they're deep in the bottom of that garage underground. You have to go get them, but it looks like that they have been able to get a deal after they did try to make a deal with other companies, BMW and others, but it was Volkswagen that got the bid, that got the win there when it comes to getting a deal with Apple. And more of the self-driving stuff, obviously, and the more news from Uber, as we talk about the at the end of the segment, kind of going a little self-driving thing here. Uber is actually shuttering and stopping its program of self-driving cars in Arizona. I know we had the issues down there earlier this year, but the fact that now Apple is kind of getting in the self-driving car game. We've already heard about Waymo, which is the kind of the Google sibling. Basically, they're both a parent. They both are part of the Alphabet family, but yeah, so it's this Volkswagen thing is going to be shuttling your employees around the spaceship, basically. I mean, that's what we're saying. We're seeing here is they're trying to get, whether it's trying to do a little test to see who we're going to try and talk about an Apple car here. No, I've even seen reports that are articles out here with people trying to speculate what an Apple car would look like, because these people, they were already seeing the Apple trying to get into this technology as well. As just like these other companies are, because they didn't really get the best response they did. They were kind of, I'm going to say, spurned or turned away, or these car companies like, oh no, we're working already with other companies. I know Uber and not Lyft, but obviously Tesla. We definitely talked about Tesla a lot when it comes to self-driving cars. But the fact that Apple isn't really trying to get into the hardware, they're really trying to go their first route with the software and making the software as most sophisticated as possible. Then going into now, they're trying to get this deal with Volkswagen to self-drive their employees around the campus, which actually is an interesting way to get at it. First, you're in a closed area on a specific track, and you're going to try and really refine down that self-driving technology before you actually maybe even see it expanded further. Uber and Tesla kind of already went into the field, but we're seeing the fact that these people are, I mean, Apple definitely trying to, whether they're incrementally going at it or they're just not trying to get too big for their britches all at once, they're going to be just checking it out and going along with these vans from Volkswagen and getting their people around the campus. I mean, that's an Apple thing for you. We're just going to wait. We're going to try our own thing, and then we're going to beat you at it. All right. We'll be back with some more talk on Sony and the PlayStation right after these messages, so stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, as we are going to talk some talk on Sony and the PlayStation in this segment. As Sony did come out, I didn't talk about it on Tuesday, with the fact that Sony, the chief of PlayStation, announced that the PlayStation 4 was entering the end of its life cycle, which I guess means the end of that life cycle is going to take 3 years to complete, I guess, the back end of it. But, the PlayStation 4 came out in 2013. They did come out with the PlayStation 4 Pro in 2016, the end of 2016. So there has been a console. I mean, they kind of like, I mean, I did talk about the fact that Xbox doubled down and had the S and the X come out to kind of split off between the two types of gamers. I mean, there are multiple more than two types of gamers, but they're definitely trying to hit the more extreme gamer. Just like the Pro did the same thing. It was a higher end version of the console with a better, you know, CPUs and whether the graphics and everything. I think that it's like the 4K. Yeah, exactly. The 4K gameplay on the consoles, trying to get through the specs here, but of the Pro, I mean, that came out in 2016. So they got a few more years left. It would mean that if it went three more years, the PlayStation 4 did, until we got a, I don't know whether it's going to be PlayStation 5 or something like that. That would be an 8-year cycle for this generation of consoles. So, that's pretty normal. I think that it's not quite that crazy to be able to see that, because I know that by 2021, we're going to see the release. I mean, I don't know if we're going to see a PlayStation 5. I think PlayStation, the VR abilities of it and the PlayStation View TV is definitely going to be something we're probably going to see in the future, because of the fact that we're trying to get away from all this cord cutting in the TV and the entertainment aspect of it. But I think everybody, these consoles have been around for a long time. I don't think they're going anywhere, really. I think people, if they really wanted to play VR video games, I mean, I guess this is the prime years, the next 2 years, maybe 3 years, we're going to see if these VR games really take off, I guess I want to say, because everybody's kind of seen them as more of kind of a, oh, that's kind of cool, I'll do that a couple times, but if I really want a game, I'm going to have my controller in my hand, I'm going to have my TV in front of me. Like, that's, we've been doing that since we were little kids, and it's going to take, I think, a couple more generations in order to get that maybe weeded out, and we'll move on to the actual games where we're just sitting where we're standing up in a headset with little hand things. You know, motion detector kind of thing. So it works all together with that PlayStation VR. I mean, whether it's the next 2 or 3 years and PlayStation sees that, oh, we're going to go towards that. You guys can play your PlayStation Pros have your enhanced gaming and stuff like that, where we want to work on more of the virtual reality kind of stuff of it. Because, I mean, if that's the way games are going to go, you'd think Sony would want to be the leader of that, because I mean, when it comes to video games, now we have a big three Nintendo really reinstalled themselves with that Switch after the Wii and the Wii U and everything like that. They kind of took a little back step, but I think Nintendo's, they got a devoted fan base. They have games that have ultra crazy, I mean, I don't call them crazy fans, but I'm gonna call them, like, devoted is the best word, because they love their Nintendo games, especially their franchises they've created, whether it's Zelda or Mario or Mario Kart, whatever things they have, whatever, all the different franchises they have. Pokemon, I think, too, is going to be coming out on the Switch pretty soon. Obviously, Nintendo still, I mean, they're kind of beating everybody because they have the handheld devices as well, with the Nintendo DS and the 3DS and everything. So PlayStation did come out with the PlayStation. They had the PlayStation Portable, PSP, and the, what was the other thing? The PS Vita or something like that. Microsoft never came out with a handheld game, which, I mean, they're just, they know they can, so they're going to, they make their money off of the Xbox. It's just the fact that it's interesting seeing all these, how these companies, all they make is the gaming consoles, but they all kind of go in different directions. Nintendo is basically all gaming. Sony is PlayStation and, like, TVs and speakers, headphones, everything. They produce movies, Sony Pictures, and then Microsoft is a software company that just happens to make a really, really, really good gaming console that's been sold all around the world. So it's interesting seeing how that each company goes. But as far as Sony, they definitely have been the most vocal on to see how it's going to be going forward with these consoles. This is the fourth generation console. I think these are for PlayStation, it's the fourth generation. For Xbox, it's like the 3.5 or something like that, because we have Xbox 360 and Xbox One. So we had the original PlayStation, PS2, PS3, PS4. So they mean they're, I think they've always been one ahead. Obviously, Xbox going with the split off approach of doing the two different consoles, maybe deem it to be the, you know, third and a half, 3.5. We'll see if there's going to be a Xbox. They call that Xbox One X, the next generation console. Even though it has the same kind of name. I remember when the Xbox One was being released, it was like, holy moly, oh gosh, it's crazy. And then PS4 came out too. So these companies, now with the Switch, obviously. But it looks like nobody's really clamoring for the PlayStation 5. I think everybody's all right. They're not trying to go, oh, another thing for me to spend $400 on. But we have there's the PlayStation Pro, if, say, if you want, really are in the market for a new console. Go for the PlayStation Pro or the Xbox One X or S, whatever kind of gamer you are. That one will, you know, there'll be one for you, obviously. Everything is also, the thing is, they can come out with a different kind of, they can tweak it just a little bit and sell it kind of a different way, whether it's like this is a slimmer version, this is slimmed down, you don't want to take up as much space in your gaming room, this is the one for you kind of thing. Or if you want to have better graphics and be able to play on a 4K, this was one, you have to get this one. Or if you're just not kind of a good gamer or big gamer, you just want to use it for more of an entertainment system, then get this one. So that's kind of cool how everybody's doing that. But I mean, these consoles are not going away, and neither are the games. I think this year we're going to obviously see a new Battlefield. There's been reports out regarding Battlefield and the fact that it's going back to World War II. And there's some fans for Battlefield 5 that are not that happy that we're seeing a female character available to use in the new game. I mean, we're seeing these reports out. Oh, they're up in arms. Don't put females in my war games. Okay, buddy, why don't you take a temperature of the room right now, of our society, of our nation right now? I think the girls are okay. They're going to be in there. They're going to get their due diligence in it. I mean, honestly, why not? It's a video game. There were girls out there in World War II. There were girls that pretended to be guys. There were girls that were nurses that were badasses. I mean, if you actually go and listen in your history class, you know that there are women out there who gave their lives for their country for World War II. So they're gonna have their day in a video game, and it's kind of I think we're past the time where It's all men here, men there with these video games. Why not just throw a badass lady in there and see how well you do with her? Obviously, we've already seen. So because Leia was a character in the movies when Battlefront came out, Leia was in there. Did we have an issue? Phasma was in there. Woman kind of thing is in there. So, I mean, don't get it twisted. Don't get upset. I mean, I think that it's a video game. It's a virtual character. It's not going to jump through the screen and try and do anything. People are like, keep your women out of my war games. Okay, well, there were women in war. You're only getting half the story when you play it with just men. So there's my little stance on that. We're getting... that's the thing with the whole news from Battlefield. I know we're seeing in more games. I think the biggest big game coming out this year is going to be Dark Souls. I know I had a buddy in college that just literally would play Dark Souls until he was blue in the face. But that's a game where I think these new consoles are really going to help it out, especially with some of those darker areas where it's going to be really enhancing those graphics and making everything a little bit more. A little bit more enjoyable for the user out there. Obviously, it's a pretty popular game for a reason. It's definitely the age of Dark Souls was what we're seeing for 2018 being one of the bigger games. And then we're obviously going to, like I said, we're going to see another Star Wars game as well, Battlefront 2. We've already had Battlefront 2. This is the reboot of that whole Battlefront franchise, video game franchise, and we're seeing some more stuff regarding Battlefront 2. We're seeing what's the release date for this guy. That's the Star Wars Battlefront 2. That was the next one. We want the next one. What's the next one here? Obviously, 2015, 2016. The whole Star Wars thing. It's all coming out at once. How long has it been the Star Wars fad for? Like, what, 3 years now? We're still going to get movies. They don't mess around. We had the first Force Awakens. I mean, they got Rogue One. You got Solo. Then you got Last Jedi. What's next? We're keeping getting it. I don't know. This says Battlefront 2 came out in 2017. I thought we had one that was coming out again. Yeah, this is not the one I want. I want the original Battlefront. We're gonna see another one here on these new consoles. Imagine if there was a game to watch or to play with a VR, I'd want to do Battlefront. That game would be sick to play with VR with the goggles on. Like, just have it be POV kind of thing where you're playing on whatever map. I mean, obviously, when you want a game like that, where that's been one of the more successful games. I mean, obviously, we haven't had a Call of Duty movie yet. Or a Black Ops movie yet, but a game that has sparked from a movie franchise, and now has become. I remember playing Battlefront 2, the original Battlefront 2 that came out way back in the day on the original Xbox. Great game, and now they're coming out. Obviously, they came out with the next ones Battlefront 2 that just came out in 2017 at the end of the last year. So, I mean, that one was... it just came out at the end of last year. That's what I was thinking. Like, there was one that just came out or was coming out soon. It was at the end of last year was when those ones came out. So, those video games... I mean, I'm not the biggest gamer in the world, but definitely like my first-person shooters, especially ones that are more... not so solely based on just the... Yeah, you got to play the campaign. You got to go through the whole storyline. No, I just wanted to just do some... online play or whatever. That's why the Battlefield, Battlefront, Call of Duty's all right. I mean, Modern Warfare was cool when it first came out. Obviously, now we're getting into Black Ops. What is it? Black Ops 5 coming out? Black Ops 4 is coming out. Coming out this year. That's gonna be big deal. I mean, when you get athletes wearing like the hats with the little insignias on them, and people are like, oh my gosh, they're wearing a Black Ops. That's a sneak peek. That means Black Ops coming out. That's the next one. Whether it's Black Ops, I think it's gonna be Black Ops 4 is coming out this year. So whether it's the best zombie people are coming asking me is the best zombie games or whatever. So yeah, it's supposed to be released at the end of this year, 2018. So October 2018. So everybody be on the lookout for your Call of Duty Black Ops 4. They've announced the release date, October 12th, 2018. So we're going to see Black Ops 4. All right. We've made it through three segments today on a slow day of news. I don't know how I did it. I just kind of talking about it, everything with you guys, as we're going to come back with the final segment and just bounce around different news stories and give my thoughts on what's going on around the world and with some Facebook stuff to talk about as well. So we'll do that right when we come back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast. We've done a bunch of talk today on gaming, on Twitter, Apple stuff that's been going on today, and this week, as we're now going to go through some stuff regarding Facebook. I know Facebook, and now with this new stuff coming out from Europe, they obviously they passing what they came out with an acronym for it and everything. The European Union coming out with their new rules that's going to go in effect on May 25th, I think. So in the next 2 days, I'm already seeing some other. Websites getting their changes to their terms of the service and everything. You have to go look forward, but it is good for the consumer. It's good for the user. It's helping out the user, and definitely would advise you to go look at the changes that the EU is being made is changing for when it comes to privacy and different stuff like that. So as it's going to be called the GDPR, your General Data Protection Regulation, is what we're looking for, looking forward to now in the next few days, as they'll definitely have some, I don't know, ripples out here in the United States, even though it's happening over there in the United Kingdom and in Europe. So whether it's going to be really a big change and trying to lead the way for some stuff here, obviously, when it comes to our country, we have some. When it comes to log jams, I mean, we're still trying to deal with net neutrality here in the United States and trying to get that saved and taken off of the chopping block, because now we're getting into the fact where now obviously we've had some issues with privacy leaks and stuff like that. Facebook, when I'm talking to you, we've already seen some changes when it comes to their terms of service. Facebook is now asking you to go. They're trying to get you to go and look at their privacy policy again, as there's been an alert on your Facebook page, and you'll be able to go look at the thing. It's obviously obviously you can. I mean, right when stuff come out, we talked about it. I think a couple shows ago we talked about how you can go in and take off certain things that you've given certain like little app things you've given permission to regarding taking your, whether they have access to your profile, whether it's going to be through just, you know, an app service that you're signing in with Facebook regarding, like, so you own an app and it says sign in with Facebook on Yelp or whatever, to make an account for something, you can sign with Facebook on everything, it seems like, these days. Or it's a little game thing, or it's a what Simpsons character you are, you can go in there and check it, so it will basically stop going after your, well, having access to your information. I'm not going after it. I don't think it's really that malice based, but definitely with these sweeping general data protection regulations, you got to go and go and look what Facebook is making the changes to as well, because it's going to have some. It's definitely being called on the carpet there with Europe. And with Facebook, you can't really, if you're Facebook, you can't really just say, okay, we're going to have these rules here, we're going to have these rules here, and these rules here, because they're basically just make sweeping regulations, because the changes the European Union made are supposed to be helping the users, and will be using to give Facebook, obviously, get Facebook to have their due diligence and get the message out to all their users with their privacy options that will be changing here. So obviously, Facebook can now have you go and delete your data, basically, that it's been tracking for you. As well, I think Google is not happy about that, because they're like, oh, we need people's data, but it's all right. There's a big deal going on in the EU. You got to pay attention to it. So go look at that. Go look at that stuff regarding the Protection Act now, because it's going to affect us here in the United States for sure. That's what I wanted to bring up. Obviously, I think I talked about Dark Souls for a second over in the last segment. I wanted to bring that back really quick. Obviously, Dark Souls is a game that's been in much of the development mode for a long time. Obviously, in 2018, they have a new with this Dark Souls remastered. Obviously, it's been it came out in 2011, so it's been 7 years since it's been really been rebooted, and now we're seeing it like it's never before. Obviously, it is that role playing game that was developed out of Japan. And is kind of like had that kind of a cult. I mean, I don't want to call it a cult following, but I want to call it like a niche kind of following where people would be like, oh, I'm going to play this 5 years after. I mean, like I said, I had a buddy that played it in college day in and day out, and it was a 6 year old video game. So, or 5 year old video game at that time. So now it's going to be back in 2018. And, we're seeing this Dark Souls remastered, as they're gonna. They saw. I mean, that's not. You got to take it. Give them credit, because that's smart. Seeing that you have a following and being like, okay, we have all this following. Why don't we just throw them a little bone? Obviously, they're still playing our game. It's 6 years, 7 years later, and we want to make it a little better for them. As we're saying, it's never. It still has got some pop to it, some magic involved there. All right, as we are going to roll on here regarding some Gmail, as there's reports out that Gmail has been trying to starting to poach different services and ideas and tips and tricks from different web mail services. Obviously, they're creating their own as well as they go along, as it's inventing different things with this new redesign that we've been talking about for a few weeks now. Obviously, with the whole changing. I mean, being able to change and evolve is what Google wants to do, and it's having a big overhaul for the first time in 5 years. Obviously, I think that the snoozing, whole idea of the snoozing your emails, that's not new. That's something that they definitely took from something else that's been around for a while. The whole idea of having a side panel involved and having it slide over where you have quick access, not new. They're just making it more streamlined. They've always had the higher priority with the little flags next to them. It just changed kind of how it looks at it. But ones that are new is kind of that attachment links, whether it's going to be in your inbox. You can, you know, if you think you can access an attachment right from the inbox, rather than having to actually look into the computer. I mean, sorry, into the message itself. It'll be having those images, images or files kind of attached right in the previous box. And also there's a confidentiality mode we've seen it around, but it's definitely being overhauled here, and Google making it a little bit better. And then obviously the smart reply is going to be the biggest thing, especially for people who respond to hundreds of emails every day, or I mean tens of emails every day, 100 emails every day, that'd be a lot. But I mean, I'm sure the people out there who do that, and having the ability to just kind of quickly get around certain things and have quick replies, and or whether it's going to learn your responses, you can have certain emails be set to have quick replies, and it'll know what you want to say. Obviously, it's got to learn what you want to say. You got to teach it, but once you teach it, it'll be able to be like, yep, nope, yep, nope, yes, give me coffee, black, whatever I want, whatever. I mean, it's kind of stuff like that. So obviously, if you have an email where you're trying to set up a meeting or a lunch date or something like that, and it says, what about Tuesday? It'll be like, you can just hit one thing and it'll be like, yeah, that's fine, or something like that. So it'll give you quick little things without having to actually go in there, say, basically creating invitations for everybody. It's always an Evite thing with your email, stuff like that. As far as the mail goes, we have of course see it on the phone, and this is going to be, we're seeing our first leaks of the new iPhone 10, and obviously seeing the Galaxy X9 is going to be released pretty soon here. We're just going to see how much we've already talked about how much Samsung has kind of copycatted Google and copycatted Apple and the whole notch and with the screen. Obviously everybody's trying to go for this bezel-less screen and everything. Obviously we're seeing more phones coming out looking the same way regarding Apple, though. They're going to be having some leaks regarding its new iPhone Plus. X Plus is, we're going to have, that's the gonna be the addition to the lineup for this year, as it looks like it's going to have that, like I said, the OLED, the screen. Basically it's making it even clearer. You can watch your movies on your phone. You can watch Netflix on your phone, even better now than before. And I'm having that iPhone 10 Plus is, ooh, I want to get that really badly. We'll be seeing that. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be the iPhone 10 Plus with the 6.5-inch OLED display. Is going to be quite nice. It'll be the next new phone that, yeah. So it's also going to be sold with the new phone that's going to be a little bit smaller. It's going to kind of be in between the Plus and the normal phone, and we'll have just a regular LED, have a lesser display. They'll have the lesser price tag as well. Remember, didn't the iPhone 10 sell for like $1,000 or something like that, or $99.99? These ones will be having basically cut that in half. $549 for a smaller one with a lesser screen, basically. Or you can get the iPhone 10X with the 5.8 regular and 5.8 OLED display. Just the better phone. All right. More stuff going on today. Like I said, it's been kind of a slow day, but it looks like that, with this tech stuff, there's always stuff to go along. Obviously, we talked about the self-driving Apple Car, and we talked about when it comes to the shuttle. There's also another Apple Car that's been talked about and released. It's not quite what we thought it would be, obviously. Apple has been having this Titan. Project, calling it Project Titan and stuff like that. Obviously, we're not quite thinking that they're going to come out with a real Apple Car for consumers. Nope, it's just a van. Just a van to get their employees around from A to B, which is actually interesting to see. Give us a self-driving car just to take you around the campus there. That's how big their campus has been. We have them come out and say, oh, this is going to be the automotive version of the iPhone. But obviously, we're just seeing that it's going to be this cool little Volkswagen van that's going to be taking people around. Quickly go over, we're seeing reports that YouTube Music will soon be getting the same kind of thing that Google Play Music has had, whether it's going to be those user uploads and whether you can upload your own music to it. Also, whether it's just going to be a flat replacing of it. So it's going to be all the features of the Google Play Music will be available on YouTube Music. I assume the same parent company, Google, is the parent for both of those things. And probably be seeing Google just put that YouTube Music in and just give it all the same things. So now you can also be uploading your own. I mean, it makes sense. YouTube is all about uploading your own content. Why wouldn't you be able to upload your own songs just like you would be at the Google Play Store or through SoundCloud or whatever you're using to put up your creations there, which is pretty cool to be able to have that service for people. As we finish up here, I just want to go over a couple more things regarding the with your smartphone, and obviously with this music players that are coming out. I think Spotify is coming out with a new music player that if you don't want to play off your phone, you can play off the mighty Spotify music player that's selling for $80, and it looks just like kind of what those iPod shuffles used to look like, the ones that clipped onto your clothing. I don't know why people would really want to just go off of their phone. Obviously, it's from Mighty Audio, and it got pretty good reviews. It's getting into the fact where I think it's more for being on the move and stuff like that, where you don't want to have your phone hooked onto yourself or whatever, you're going to be doing some runs and you want to have your phone in your bag or whatever, and or your pocket, instead of having to worry about having it play your music, you just have this little thing that's clipped to you, kind of like you're working out. I don't know why we're regressing here a little bit. We're going back to this mini music players, but it is definitely at a better price point than some of those iPods we saw a few years back. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today, as we have gone over a bunch of stuff from Twitter regarding the president and his the ruling that he can't block people on Twitter, and what that means for the First Amendment and how Twitter is involved in that. It's more of a discrimination issue than anything else. And also talking about Apple and its self-driving cars, more like vans, and the iPhone as well. And then also did a little talk on Sony and the news that the PlayStation, we're not going to see another PlayStation until probably 2021, but the PlayStation 4 Pro is out there, and you can get it, and it's just fine, and you'll probably be just fine 3 years from now as well. So everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday with some more tech news, so see you then. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.